black and white.
The government that no one elected of Dina Boluarte has turned 1 year. In order to assume and carry out the coup d'etat against President Pedro Castillo, Dina Boluarte had the support of the entire mafia that has been built around Fujimori, his politics, and his daughter.
A su política, a su hija. Es por eso.
That is why now in December, Dina Boluarte returns the favor and sets free the genocidal, the murderer, the corrupt, the coward who rushed off to Japan at a certain moment and from there resigned from the position of president. He was detained with a maximum sentence of 25 years, which is the maximum sentence in Peru. He was in jail for 16 years. And today, going beyond international agreements and international legislation to which Peru is committed, he is simply left free. The collusion between the old criminal dictatorships of Fujimori, Alberto Fujimori, and Dina Boluarte is absolute. The common identity is found in ideology, politics, and in the repression of the people. As for now, Dina Boluarte has officially murdered 80 people by the repressive forces since she assumed power without anyone electing her after the coup d'etat.
Bajo órdenes precisas y personales.
Under precise and personal orders from dictator Fujimori, 15 people from upper neighborhoods and 10 young students and teachers of Cantuta were murdered.
De la Cantuta. Por eso estaba preso.
That is why Fujimori was imprisoned and sentenced to 25 years in jail. Of course, he was set free, as we said, after 16 years. In the last 20 years in Peru, there have been 20,000 forced disappearances, mass graves were found, and there have been 5,337 summary executions.
Ejecuciones sumarias. Sumarias.
La mayoría. The vast majority during Mr. Fujimori's mandate of 10 years.
El señor Fujimori.
We're talking of this criminal who was absolutely aligned with North American imperialism, obeying all its orders.
De quien, por otro lado,
on the other hand, he has no problem with destroying entire villages in deep Peru and has no problem in handling over the country to imperialist capital.
Hoy día.
Today he returns in glory and majesty to rest at the age of 85 in his house like a grandfather who has not done any harm to anyone. But Peruvian popular social organizations are raising their voices. A genocide of these characteristics, brother in thought and practices of some like Stroessner in Paraguay, Pinochet in Chile, Videla in Argentina, he deserves nothing other than to die in prison because he had an attitude that was not only repressive, but also the murder of Peruvians was his joy.
El asesinato de los peruanos.
This is Black and White. I'm Eduardo Artes.
Soy Eduardo Artes. Hoy desde Perú estamos.
Today we're coming to you from Peru with Anay Durand, former Minister of Women and Vulnerable Populations of Peru, during the government of President Pedro Castillo.
Pedro Castillo. Ella es socióloga.
She is a sociologist and a member of the faculty of San Marco. Dear Anay, welcome to Black and White.
Negro y blanco,
Thank you very much for this opportunity.
Anaí, todo el mundo caracterizamos.
We all consider Fujimori's government to be a genocidal, repressive government.
Un gobierno con características
with the same characteristics as Vareya and Pinochet in Latin America, from an economic point of view.
¿Cuál es la ideología?
What was the ideology and policy that the dictatorship of Alberto Fujimori took?
La dictadura de Alberto Fujimori.
Bueno, el gobierno de Fujimori es electo por voto popular.
Well, I must say that the Fujimori government was elected by popular vote in 1990 in the context of a severe structural crisis in Peru, like an unprecedented hyperinflation, a very bloody internal armed conflict. In the meantime, Fujimori came to power with the promise of not restoring to shock and neoliberal measures. 2 years later, in 1992, he tries to establish special relations with a part of the armed forces and business groups, and he does this with the advice of Vladimiro Montesinos. And on April 5, 1992, he closes the Congress and declares a state of emergency. It is in this emergency situation that he starts to implement the neoliberal model in the country. In terms of ideology, we must say that Fujimorism does not have a great ideology and does not belong to any great discourse, but a completely pragmatic government that tried to create a shock. In addition, the vote itself in an authoritarian government allowed the implementation of neoliberal measures and the orders from Washington. These measures included the privatization and liquidation of state-owned companies, the national airlines such as Aeropro and Minropro, and all the companies that had been created in the previous decades within the framework of a developing country's business structure. In addition, policies were adopted in favor of multinational capitals, large capitals entered the mining sector, and various industrial sectors and pension funds. The implementation of this neoliberal structure reduced the state to its minimum size and, as we said, and obviously in a context of authoritarianism that allows arbitrary actions by the state. Add to these the widespread corruption that you did not mention, something that is necessary as the characteristics of a genocidal government. This must be mentioned. Specifically in the Peru case, Fujimori was tried for corruption and mismanagement of public funds. So this is another feature of neoliberalism in Peru. There's a kind of mafia that takes advantage of the privatization of large capitals and steals the country's resources. On the other hand, another feature of Peruvian neoliberalism is the dissolution of social institutions. During this armed conflict, the leader of labor unions were killed. In this situation, the widespread division created a society without organization and without social organizations representing the people, and this reality helped neoliberalism continue its actions with much more ease. This is a summary of Fujimori's imposed economic policy. In 1993, Constitution passed the Fujimori regime. It establishes the policy, and this policy continued in the following years. In the post-Fujimori governments, elections were held in 2001, but absolutely nothing changed in relation to this economic regime. And moreover, the politics were deepened. After the increase in mineral prices, the elected governments after Fujimori deepened this neoliberal policy.
Perfecto, así es. Ahora, dime una cosa.
It is absolutely so. Now, tell me something. What is the explanation of Fujimori's freedom?
Del gobierno de la Dina Boluarte, que un gobierno que nadie la eligió.
In the first year of Dina Boluarte's government, a government that no one elected and came to power through a coup, what kind of disagreement and agreement is there that the Constitutional Court and the government body had even ignored international agreements in this field?
Inclusive de acuerdos internacionales que existen en esta materia.
Well, the amnesty of Alberto Fujimori is what his party has been seeking for years. We must note that in 2001, Fujimori left. But the problem was that the movement known as Popular Force was allowed to enter the political scene. The party led by Keiko Fujimori. When the government is not in their hands, they change the laws through Congress, which means that by obtaining a majority in Congress, they can have direct representation in the Constitutional Court. And since the past, the Constitutional Court is responsible for the interest of Fujimori. And beyond that, they're trying to form a coalition, like what we saw in 2021, where together with the extreme right parties and the persecution of the big media, they remove the legitimate and elected president and impose Dina Boluarte as the president. Dina Boluarte was brought to power by the parties that lost the elections. And in the face of the popular reaction, to maintain her position in power, she adopts the policy of killing. There are complaints about genocide. 80 Peruvians have been killed in about 13 months due to demonstrations to defend their vote. Her supporter is the Congress, and the majority forces of the Congress belong to Fujimorism, to that movement. She's a kind of borrower of Fujimorism. Her government and cabinet are made up of members of the party that lost the election, the far-right Fujimorism, and she was preparing the ground for this amnesty. Deputized foreign minister of Dina Boluarte, who was appointed a few months ago, is a known Fujimorist and was in favor of pardoning her. In addition, she's a serious critic of the Inter-American Court, which opposes Fujimori's amnesty. What has been done is to validate the amnesty that Pedro Pablo Kuczynski, former president of Peru, granted to Fujimori in 2017, which was found to be impractical and unconstitutional. And even the Inter-American Court said it was unenforceable. What this government is doing, as I said, a Fujimorism loan government, was to give credit to this amnesty. And for this, the Constitutional Court, whose members were elected by Fujimorism, came into action. Therefore, we are witnessing legal or seemingly legal clauses that can give a legal appearance to this amnesty, an amnesty that is illegal and illegitimate in all respects. Therefore, the political will and political discussion of Dina Boluarte has made this possible. And what we see at the end of the survival agreement, in which Dina Boluarte is dependent on Fujimorism, and Fujimorism has kept her in power because it does not want new elections to be held.
We are in a disastrous draw. We take a short break and continue immediately.
Estamos de regreso en Negro y Blanco con Anaí Durán y
we're back with Black and White with Anaí Durán. Let's move on to the next question. Look, what is happening to the popular democratic and patriotic forces of Peru? Considering these conditions of ideological, political, economic, and repression unity that you mentioned in 80 years so far, new prisoners and the maximum limitation of public freedoms, in this situation, what happens to these forces and what is their reaction and capacity?
¿Qué reacción tienen? ¿Qué capacidad?
Unfortunately, the political crisis in Peru is very deep, and there is no coherent political opposition forces. Dina Boluarte does not face opposition in Congress. both right-wing and left-wing parties that are in Congress, such as Free Peru and other dissident parties, have about 4 to 5 seats. They have no opposition because they don't want to leave. The issue is that if Dina Boluarte resigns or is removed from office in Peru, new elections must be held and both Congress and the government must step aside and allow the electoral process to proceed. These congressmen and these political groups don't want that. And unfortunately, that's what deepens the crisis of representation. Because what they're doing is self-preservation. And the citizens are vehemently against them. The performance of the Congress is faced with 96% dissatisfaction. And similarly, the dissatisfaction with the performance of the executive branch is 92%. We are in a crisis of representation and political crises in which citizens are not important for these groups, and they remain alive in this agreement as long as they can. So where is it left for the citizens? All that remains are the streets. Because of this, we have seen demonstrations. Demonstrations were held separately. And those who came to the streets were rural, noble communities, and those who voted for Pedro Castillo, for example, the Andean community, or workers in forest sector. Demonstrations related to poverty-stricken and damaged groups were brutally suppressed. Not only 80 people were killed, but 1,200 people were injured, 1,800 people were tried, and some of those demonstrators are still in prison. The dramatic situation that exists is due to the existence of an illegitimate government, which, by clashing with the coup plotters, has brought about the illegal and illegitimate removal of Pedro Castillo. And they do not want to allow the will of the people to decide their own fate. So what we're witnessing is the increasing decline of democracy. They are advancing in the Congress and in the government, and they are in the National Council of Justice, and they have made the judiciary opaque. They want to do the same with the National Electoral Council. So it seems that we cannot have an election contest in the short term. That is why the situation in Peru is very sad and very bad. We have to see if there are forces from more active classes during this year or the next year that can create synergies and play a role in politics.
Algún protagonismo político, ¿no?
Sí, y mira, eso.
What do you think about this? Because the whole world is changing. On the one hand, you see the clear decline of Western Europe and America, and the fall of American imperialism is clear, at least on the economic and political level. From a military point of view, it is still one of the first and perhaps the largest military powers in the world. It is clear that it is against many nations that are fighting for their freedom. But in Latin America, we see a tendency towards rightism and even extreme rightism of the terrorist type, with some of the characteristics of brutal dictatorships, like Pinochet in Chile. For example, we have Milei in Argentina, Noboaro in Ecuador. Dina Boluarte is forming a dictatorship, and releasing Fujimori is a very clear signal about her direction. What's your idea?
De Fujimori dando una señal clarita, ¿cuál es su camino?
He was put there by the authoritarian and far-right coalition. A number of her main political supporters went to Milei's inauguration. Yes, I think she's part of this destructive phenomenon. But she herself? No. Dina Boluarte is not someone who does not have her own strength. She's been held by a coalition of coup plotters and mafia. Because I think that in Peruvian politics, the ability to form allegiances and exchange favors, negotiate and even exchange money to buy government institutions and remain in power is one of the necessities. Therefore, this coup coalition that ousted Castillo is a mafia, because it bought the institutions of the government. And it's this coalition that kept Dina Boluarte in the government and imposed a regime that is aligned with the extreme right sections that you mentioned. For example, Milei in Argentina and the issue of Ecuador. But she faces a very broad limitation, which is the lack of radical legitimacy. There is widespread opposition to her from the citizens, as well as the inadequacy of the regime, which has no success to show for it. And the security of the citizens is in a very disastrous situation. I think this is the worst citizen security crisis Peru has ever faced, especially in big cities like Lima and Trujillo. And I mentioned about the economy. The macroeconomics that Peruvian neoliberals were so proud of is in one of its worst conditions, if not the worst in a decade. So I think that in Latin America, the extreme right is taking advantage of the increasing problems that progressive governments are not solving. And in the case of Peru, as I mentioned, there is alignment, but there are certain conditions where the government has no legitimacy and no success to show.
De no tener legitimidad y además de no tener ningún éxito que mostrar, ¿no?
Pero de cualquier manera, siendo verdad eso, vivimos también un momento.
This is a fact, but in any case, we live in a time when it seems that democracy and public freedom and people's rights do not matter to the big and very big imperialist powers.
La libertad pública y los derechos de la gente, ¿no? Porque estamos en un momento del látigo.
Well, we're coming to the end. Please give your closing remarks on this program and the vision you see for Peru today.
Y la perspectiva que tú ves hoy día sobre Perú.
Yes, in conclusion, I think that Peru's position in regional geopolitical equations should be strengthened. The American embassy was very active during the time of Pedro Castillo. I hope that in the future it will be clear that American Ambassador Lisa Kenna did a lot of things to set up the removal and coup against Castillo. I think that in this emerging multipolar world, Peru remains a bastion of American imperialism. In the end, I believe it is important to note that the international community's indifference to the events in Peru has been very high. Today, I take this opportunity to draw your attention to Peru. 1 year has passed since the beginning of the killings by the Dina Boluarte regime. In Juliaca, in Ayachuco, in the city of Juliaca, 18 people were shot dead by the police in just 1 day. In Ayacucho, 10 people were killed. And this issue was not condemned by anywhere, neither the Organization of American States nor the international community. We're still in a state of emergency, and our civil rights are still being curtailed. On the other hand, there is a call of solidarity from nations and some respectable governments. There are still governments, for example, Mexico, which behaved very respectfully, as well as Colombia and the countries of ALBA, to protest and condemn what is happening in Peru. We don't live in a normal democracy or anything like that. Therefore, the outlook is that this situation will intensify if there is no reaction to condemn these conditions and stand in solidarity with the Peruvian nation. And I use this opportunity to call for solidarity and draw attention. And I hope that you will be able to closely follow the developments that will take place in Peru in the coming months.
Así es, Anavi. Hay que...
That's right, Anai. Undoubtedly, we should consider this as a continental solidarity mission.
Porque la experiencia que vivió el pueblo peruano, ¿no? Con Fujimori.
Because the experience that the Peruvian nation had with Fujimori is being repeated with Dina Boluarte today.
Observamos aquello. Vemos nuevamente lo que pasó en 1992, en el fondo...
We are seeing it here in Chile. We must remember what happened in 1992. A legal appearance that is not legal.
Y como se llama, muy regado de represión de una política...
Events intertwine with repression and politics that do not benefit the people, and on the contrary, destroy rights, and at the international level... clearly aligned with American imperialism and notorious groups at the global level. This is what you have brought up. So I thank you for your presence and I wish the best for the people of Peru. And I also demand the freedom of President Pedro Castillo.
Para la exigencia de libertad para el presidente Pedro Castillo.
Thank you. We will continue this fight. Thanks.
Keep up the good work. Thank you very much.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
The Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
Self-purification is the most significant
factor.
Imamat is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. Very welcome to another episode of the program Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Ali. Stay tuned.
معاویه 18 ماه با امیرالمومنین جنگی.
معاویه فوت امام علی علیه السلام in the battle of Siffin for about 18 months. He used any type of deceptive act to disunite the army of Imam Ali, but he was not successful. The only deception that worked was putting the Holy Quran on spears when the army of Imam Ali reached the camps of Muawiyah. By doing this, Muawiyah misled the army of Imam Ali through fake religious and holy attractions. The deceived army of Imam Ali thought that they are fighting the Quran and they left supporting Imam Ali alayhi salam.
امیرالمومنین علیه السلام اهل قرآن چیه؟ قرآن اون چیزیست که من دارم میگم.
Imam Ali alayhi salam told them not to be deceived by the traps of the enemy, since I am the talking Quran. The army of Muawiyah put the Quran and spears to deceive you. The Kharijites or Khawarij were defending the Quran on the surface, but deep inside, the Satan deceived them through their religious temptations and desires. The Kharijites left defending Imam Ali alayhi salam and they disobeyed him because their understanding of the religion was a superficial one. In better words, the Satan deceived the Kharijites through their so-called holy wishes. Thank you very much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page, for listening to this episode of the program Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Ali. To find out more about this program, log on to our website parstoday.ir Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye. Thank you.
Puzzle of life. The sound of living. Only sound will endure. IRIB English Radio.
The limelight.
Companies across the UK are cutting back on hiring amid the prevailing economic uncertainty. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. RT noted UK workers may face lower wage increases this year, 2024, as employers are mulling cutting pay rises amid persisting economic woes. A recent report by the Chartered Institute of Personnel and Development, CIPD, has found the drop in wage growth comes as many UK employers are cutting back on hiring plans due to slowing growth, the report said. The average future expected pay rise in the UK dropped to 4% in the final quarter of 2023 after holding at 5% for some time, marking the first fall since the beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic. The median expected increase across the private sector showed the same expected decline from 5% to 4%, whereas the expected decrease in the public sector was steeper from 5% to 3%. CIPD senior labor market economist John Boyce said, "This feels like a key moment in the UK labor market. The public and private sector gap in pay expectations is widening again at a time of mounting pressures on public services." Lower pay rises would deal a blow to Britain's purchasing power and curtail disposable income at a time when living costs are rising, prompting many to re-evaluate their budgets and expenses, experts warned. Boyce explained, "We've seen a sustained period of high wage growth in response to a tight labor market and high inflation pushing up the cost of living. Pay growth has helped individuals, but it leaves employers with a higher wage bill to cover." The survey, which was conducted last month, involved over 2,000 employers. About a third of employers plan to increase their headcount over the next 3 months, while 10% anticipate reductions. According to Reuters, Britain's economy fell into a recession in the second half of 2023, a tough backdrop ahead of 2024's expected election for Prime Minister Rishi Sunak, who has promised to boost growth. Gross domestic product GDP contracted by 0.3% in the 3 months to December, having shrunk by 0.1% between July and September, official data has recently shown. The fourth quarter contraction was deeper than all economists' estimates in a Reuters poll, which had pointed to a 0.1% decline. Sterling weakened against the dollar and the euro. Investors added to their promises on the Bank of England cutting interest rates this year, and businesses call for more help from the government in a budget plan due on March 6th. The recent data means Britain joins Japan among the group of seven advanced economies in a recession, although it is likely to be short-lived and shallow by historical standards. Canada has yet to report GDP data for the fourth quarter. Britain's economy stands just 1% higher than its level of late 2019 before the COVID-19 pandemic struck, with only Germany among G7 countries faring worse. British households are due to see their first drop in living standards between one national election and the next since the Second World War, analysts have said. Ruth Gregory, Deputy Chief UK Economist at Capital Economics, said the GDP figures had more political significance than economic, with voters due to elect lawmakers in two constituencies. Gregory said the news that the UK slipped into technical recession in 2023 will be a blow for the Prime Minister on a day when he faces the prospect of losing two by-elections. Finance Minister Jeremy Hunt said there were signs the British economy is turning a corner and we must stick to the plan, cutting taxes on work and businesses to build a stronger economy. The opposition Labour Party rejected those claims. Rachel Reeves, Labour's top economy official, said the Prime Minister can no longer credibly claim that his plan is working or that he has turned the corner on more than 14 years of economic decline under the Conservatives. Media reports said Hunt was seeking to cut billions of pounds from public spending plans to fund pre-election tax cuts in his budget if penned by tight finances. The Office for National Statistics, ONS, said the economy grew 0.1% across 2023 compared with 2022. The BOE forecasts output will pick up slightly in 2024, but only to 0.25% growth. Britain's economy has been stagnating for nearly 2 years. The COVID-19 pandemic triggered the deepest contraction on record over two quarters in early 2020, when the economy slumped by 22%. Before that, the global financial crisis sparked a severe recession that lasted just over a year from the second quarter of 2008 through the second quarter of 2009.
If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio, in which we try to ask and answer some of the questions related to the Islamic laws based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before we embark on our episode, let's take a listen to a short biography. A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, "We testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up till 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that. Back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Mama Jad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are talking about some of the jurisprudential laws related to travelers based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei with Sheikh Javid. Sheikh Javid, in the last episode near the end of the program, I asked you a question regarding the conditions for the four rakat prayers to become obligatorily shortened on the traveler. And you just stated the first condition for it to become, like, to be met, in fact, we want to talk about the four rakat prayers to become obligatorily shortened, right, on a traveler. And you said that the distance traveled by an individual or a resident of a town or a city must come up to 8 farsakh, yes, which is roughly about 45 kilometers.
Sure.
So what are the other conditions, would you?
The second condition which I would like to briefly mention is that the intention to travel, okay?
Yes.
The distance. There should be such an intention should exist in the first place. When you embark on a journey, you should have the intention in the back of your mind that you will travel a distance which is at least 45 kilometers. If you don't have this intention, and you happen to cover this distance, you cannot break your fast, because you did not have the intention. For example, you have lost something and you go out in search of it, but you think, okay, you will find it very much close to the city. You end up traveling the 8 farsakh. You cannot break your fast. That is it. On your way back home, if the distance is 45 kilometers, then you have to shorten your prayers on your way back home, okay? Because you are, this time you are back, returning home, and the distance you have covered outward and not return outward is about 45 kilometers. So when you go out searching for something, you cannot break your fast.
Right.
Or you cannot shorten your prayers. But on your way back or return distance, the return distance is 45 kilometers, so you have to shorten your prayers.
So the second condition is intention, you
intention.
Said. But is it before embarking your trip, your travel, or you can do it in the middle?
Well, no. You can. You have to.
You have, for example, traveled the distance.
Yes.
And then you intend to be a traveler.
Okay, that's something. From the point where you intend, you have to start
calculating.
Uh-huh. Yes. Not from your home, because a lot of people, okay, let's see, there are a lot of people who are under the impression that, okay, tomorrow we are going to travel, so we don't have to make niyyah for fasting, we should have breakfast, and then let's go out. That's not okay, that's not permissible.
I see.
Because as long as you are in your hometown, you should make niyyah fasting. You cannot break it. But when you leave your city and you reach a point beyond which you are considered to be a traveler, then you can settle somewhere, break your fast, or maybe shorten your prayers, and then continue your journey.
Thank you very much for clearing up that misunderstanding that might happen to lots of people. Thank you, my dear listeners. In fact, we're going to continue our program after the break. Just stay with us.
The followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khomeini's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah, ya Allah, oh Allah. Don't let me go astray, cause I need you.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. We are still talking about some of the jurisprudential laws related to travelers based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khomeini. Well, Sheikh Javid, you were talking about the conditions. You stated and gave us two conditions for the 4 rak'ah prayers to become obligatory shortened on the traveler. What are the others?
Well, the third condition I should mention is the continuation of the intention. Okay, one must have the intention, serious intention to travel. If he hesitates, okay, he, for example, he started his journey and in the middle of the journey, he hesitates as to whether he should continue his journey or not, or he changes his mind even. And actually decides to even return home. So in this case, he cannot actually shorten his prayers. And in the event that he prayed, performed his prayers, okay, shortened his prayers before changing his mind, before hesitating or entertaining any doubt. So if before changing his mind, he shortened his prayers, His Eminence Grand Ayatollah Khomeini says that actually he has to repeat those prayers as a measure of obligatory precaution. Now, mm-hmm. this is the third condition.
Yes.
And the fourth condition is that there should be no intention of interruption. Okay? Mm-hmm. For example, he should not intend to see his hometown again. For example, he goes out and says, okay, there's another hometown, or maybe the same hometown, he wants to just cross his hometown and go to another place. Such an intention should not be there. If he has such an intention to, for example, to cross his hometown or stay, for example, somewhere for 10 days and then continue, that is... that
the invalidator of the traffic, that's, basically.
That, yeah, of course, that is an that renders the intention invalid.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the fourth condition is that the journey be a lawful one. Okay, it is important that one embarks on a journey for a lawful purpose. Now,
the fifth condition.
Yeah, this is the fifth condition. Yes, yes. The purpose of the journey should be lawful. It should be legal. It should be allowable,
mm-hmm.
and there should not be no intention of committing any haram action mm-hmm. Should be involved in it. For example, if one intends to go and kill someone, or mm-hmm. let's say commit, God forbid, adultery or mm-hmm. something like this, these are grave sins. Okay,
mm-hmm. yes.
He cannot shorten his prayers, and he cannot break his fast as well.
Mm-hmm.
This is the fifth one. Then the sixth condition, of course, that the traveler should not be one of those people who is migrant. He's moving from one place to another place, like Bedouins.
Nomad,
yeah, like nomads who are always
on the journey,
moving from one place. So these are not included.
What about chauffeurs and drivers?
Yeah, drivers, yes. And then, of course, the driver, you know, it's traveling is part of their profession, you know?
Yes.
And this is the seventh condition.
Mm-hmm.
The seventh condition is that the traveling should not be one's job,
yes.
such as a driver or a seller, or for example, the captain of a ship, or so on.
Or pilot,
you know, or maybe even a shepherd. I suppose someone who is traveling. And then, if I have time, I should finish it. Then reaching the point of tarakhus, okay, mm-hmm. that's another condition.
This is
we
the
talked
eighth
about
condition?
It. Yeah, it is the eighth condition, okay?
And the last condition.
And it's very important. I did say that one cannot break his fast unless he crosses
mm-hmm.
the point, or one cannot shorten his prayers yes. unless he crosses that point. And these are the conditions which must be fulfilled in order for a person to shorten his prayers.
Okay, thank you very much, Sheikh Shavit. And thank you, my dear listeners, for joining your own program, Islamic Laws, on RIB English Radio, in which we try to deal with some of the jurisprudential laws related to travelers based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei in this program, Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. Thank you very much for listening to us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
رحمن رحيم منان كريم سلام عليم لا إله إلا هو غفار جميل وهاب لطيف تواب سميع بصير لا إله إلا هو وحيد قدير محيي المميت الظاهر والباطن لا إله إلا هو لا إله إلا هو.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,650 kHz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details.
The saint of the soil, from the blood and the ashes, it speaks with me the sound of the rain, from the battle and the victory.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.